Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
The Lord has put a message in me that He wants me to share with you tonight. And it's called a shaking that leads to an awakening. Amen. God is shifting things in the atmosphere. Amen. He's shaking up some stuff. Amen. In the year of 2024, in this season that we're in, the God we serve is stirring some stuff up in our life. Amen. And so how many want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth? Amen. And I think you're in the right place at the right time if you want to be part of what the Lord is doing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before I get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful and so thankful that you have blessed us to be here on this 17th day of January in this great city island of Galveston. We thank you, oh God, that we are participants in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we are partakers of the grace of God. We thank you, Father, that we are practicing the goodness of God. And we thank you, Father, for being able to pursue the goals of God. We love you so much and thank you for what you have allowed us to accomplish in life and allowed us to be who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name, we pray. So since God is doing this shaking and shifting and stirring in the atmosphere, because he wants to awaken us to what he's doing in the earth in this season that we're in. Amen. Some people have proclaimed and prophesied that this is the year of open doors. For Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, I believe, "Behold, I set before you an open door that no man can shut. And I've shut doors that no man can open." So we thank God that he has opened the doors of heaven. Amen. We already know if you're a tither, you already got the windows opened up for you. And the Lord is already pouring out blessings that we ain't got room enough to receive it. But now we are entering in a season, saints of the Most High God, where God has opened up the heavens now. Now, how many know how many the doors are bigger than windows? We all know that. So if God can open up a window for you because you pay 10% of your income to your local church, how much greater can he do with a door? Whoo, my God. So the doors, amen, are open unto us. And God is trying to get something into the life of his people. So that's why he's stirring. That's why he's shaking. That's why he's shifting things in the atmosphere. Therefore, he wants to stir us up. So the Bible says, let's stir up the gift of God in our life. He wants to set our souls on fire. Somebody say fire. In this blessed year of 2024. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Amen. "As some would count slackness. But he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then, people of God, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent," here we go, "that you may be found in him," what? "In peace, without spot and blameless." Remember, last time I stood before you, I say God said he's coming back for a glorious church. And Pastor Rusty always say in prayer, if we're not that glorious church, then Lord, show us what it is so that we can become it. So God is coming for a church that without spot and wrinkle. And so in order to get the spot and wrinkle out of your life, God has to stir up some stuff in your life. Amen. There's enough faith in most of us because, as the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he knew that the faith was in him because it first dwelt in his grandmother, Lois, and then it was in his mother, Eunice. Amen. And he was certain that the faith of God dwelt in him. And I'm going to say that to us today. The faith is in us. Amen. It dwells in us. And some of us have had parents that have labored and served the Lord and believe Christ. And that same faith that your parents had, or your same faith that your grandmother had, or the same faith that your great-great-granddaddy had, it dwells in you. Hallelujah. The same genuine, sincere, unfeigned faith, trust, and persuasion is in all of us who believe. We just got to tap into it. Somebody say, tap into it. You probably ask, okay, that's a good question to ask. Well, how, Brother Carter, how do we tap into this dynamic gift of faith that comes from God? I'm glad you asked. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that is in him. Well, as the Apostle Paul had to remind Timothy, we also need to be reminded to stir up the gift. Amen. The King James says stir up the gift. But if we look at the Amplified Version, it says fan into flame. Or the Amplified Classified Version, or the Passion Version, says it this way: rekindle the fire or embers and keep them burning. God wants to stir up the gift in the church. He wants us to fan into flame the gift of God. He wants us to the embers to keep blowing and glowing forever and ever. We don't want to be hot or cold. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be hot. We want to be on fire for the Lord. Amen. So why do you have to stir up the gift of God? Timothy is mentioned in the beginning of 8 of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church. 8, 2 Corinthians. You look at Colossians, Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. At the beginning verse of those books, we see Brother Timothy in those books. Amen. So Paul is addressing young Timothy. And he's addressing young Timothy because Timothy had a calling on his life. Just like our young people over here, they have a calling on their life. Just like all the people we are connected to around the world, all the ministers that are in here, Brother Allen, amen, Brother Josh, and who else? Where are all the preachers at? So we're connected to a lot of preachers, and there's a lot of preachers that are going to be coming out of this assembly, amen? And God needs everyone who are going out into the various parts of the world to have a stirred up life. God needs every one of us, Brother George, to fan into flame the fire of God, the embers of God, and keep them burning. Amen. How many want to be on fire for the Lord? Amen. We got to stay on fire. God don't want us to just get on fire and then get out and then get back in. How many used to have a life like that? You're hot one day, you're cold the next. You want to go to church one day, you don't feel like the next day. You want to serve God one moment, and the next moment you don't feel like it. God wants to stir some stuff in the church that we be consistent and faithful over a few things. The Bible says, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So let's stir up the gift. So why did, y'all forgive me, from time to time I get like, whoo, whoo. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, right? It's active and alive. And sometimes I feel it moving in me. And I feel like, whoo, I feel like going with it. Because the word of God is not stagnant. It goes forth out of the Lord's mouth to accomplish stuff, to prosper wherever God sends his word. And so the word is always on the go. Why you think we all in church today? Because the word got to our life one day and blessed us and filled us. Amen. So y'all forgive me. I get so excited. So out of these eight letters, Timothy is mentioned. So whenever we are participating or partnering in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we better stir up the gift of God in our life. Whenever we are partakers of the grace of God, we better have a stirring of God in our life. Whenever we are pursuing the goodness of God, we better have a stirring of God in our life. If you are expecting God to perfect you, perform and complete the good work he has begun in your life, you better get a stirring of God in your life. So as we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, we definitely need to stir up the gift of God. Somebody asked why? Because the responsibility is so great. It's a high calling. Everyone in here has received a high calling, and God has given every one of us here a high responsibility. The Bible says in Romans, it's high time. Time out for playing. It's time to awaken out of our sleep. For our salvation is what? Nearer now than it's ever been before. The night of this present evil age is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. So let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, not in quarreling and jealousy, but clothe ourselves with what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for your flesh. The gratifying of the flesh in regards to its improper diet. All right, now moving on. So what is the gift of God? What is this gift that God wants us to light a flame in and keep the fire burning? What is the gift? I'm glad you asked the question too. Whenever you read your Bible, always ask the Lord questions. Ask the scripture a question. Like, Lord, what are you saying to me in this verse? What does this mean? So whenever you ask the question, surely enough, you're going to receive it. So what is this gift God want us to stir up in our life? And why is this gift so important? Thank you, Pastor Leah. Thank you. Look at that. The Greek word for gift is charisma. So God wants us to stir up the gift. Grace is charis in the Greek. The gift is charisma in the Greek. God wants to stir up the grace of God in our life, and he wants to stir up the charisma of God in our life. So what is charisma? It's your charm. It is the unmerited favor and blessing of God upon your life that divinely empowers you to edify others and to share God's love with others. I want y'all to get this here. What is your charisma? It's the way you walk. It's the way you talk. It's the way you carry yourself. What is your charisma? It is the extraordinary power given by the Holy Ghost that inspires devotion in other people. What is your charisma? It makes others want to worship your God and give their life to Christ. That's your charisma. What is your charisma? It's your joy. It's your strength. It's your love. It's your salvation. For by grace we are saved and not of ourselves. What is the charisma? It is your courteousness. It's your politeness. It's your respect for yourself and your respect for other people. It's your mannerism. It's your flow. It's the way you handle yourself when you come and when you go. It is what makes you attractive. Come on. And this is where God is trying to get us to. He wants the church to be attractive. Your charisma makes you attractive. It is not the hair on our head or the clothes on our back. I ain't got no hair, I know that. It is not the lipstick that you wear, but it's your charisma that makes you attractive. It makes people want to worship your God. It makes people want to give their life to Christ when you have charisma. So God wants to stir up the charisma in the church so that we can become attractive. And people like, oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. It is what makes you attractive. It is what makes the church attractive and the message of the gospel attractive. Now, when I came here, I saw some charisma. That's why I joined. It starts in the foyer, the greeters, attractive with a smile on their face. Then all of a sudden you come into the sanctuary, you see the people singing, the praise team. You see the nice ushers. Brother D, amen. Pooch, amen. Dr. Jackson, we see the charisma. It's attractive. You want people to follow Christ? You want people to follow your God? Get rid of all that foolishness. Get rid of all that junk out of your life. And allow the Holy Spirit to make you attractive. I got some good news for you. Whenever you have lost your joy or your faith or your way in life, a good stirring will lead you back to a great awakening. For when you stir up the gift of God, here's some things that God will begin to do in your life. Number one, he will revive you. A good stirring will bring revival in your life. A good stirring will bring restoration to your life. A good stirring will reinvigorate your life. A good stirring will rejuvenate your life. And a good stirring will resuscitate you. Amen. Some of us been walking like dead men walking. You just going through the motions. You lost your joy as David did a long time ago when he slept with Bathsheba. Sin will make you lose your joy sometime. But I'm here to tell you, you can get it back. David, if you read Psalms 51, if you ever got involved in sin, which we all have, and fallen from the grace of God, read Psalms 51. Read David's Psalms. He asked the Lord to restore the joy of my salvation. See, if you lose your joy, you ain't got no charisma. If you lose your joy, you're not attractive anymore. Don't nobody want to be around nobody with the poochy mouth. Amen. I want to be around somebody who's happy. Amen. Amen. The Lord will bring you back to consciousness. He will bring you back from the edge of death. For the enemy comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy us. The enemy wants to sift all of us like wheat. But we got good news. The Lord is praying for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we got a church that prays. Amen. Anybody ever come out to Wednesday night prayer meeting? There's a shifting. And there's a stirring in our prayers on Wednesdays and Thursdays. If you've never came, you need to get involved. Because that's one of the ways that's going to keep you on fire for the Lord, which I'm getting towards my end of my message. So here's the million-dollar question. Let me move on. I got about 10 more minutes. How do we stir up or fan into flame the gift of God in our life? Y'all know what I'm saying? I'm glad you asked. Well, let me give you some biblical and practical steps to stir up the gift of God in your life, to fan into flames the embers of fire that God wants you to have as you come and when you go. Is that backwards? Okay. Because God wants the church on fire. I believe the choir, does praise team sing a song called Fire, Fire, Fall on Us, starting a revival, right? Fire, fall on us, because we want the fire of God. Listen, there's something amazing about the fire of God in the life of a believer. You wonder why we got so many missionaries in foreign countries? Because they got the fire of God. And they have left the comfort of their homes to go and serve God in another country where there's nobody they know. It's the fire of evangelism. It's the fire of the preaching of the gospel. And God wants to light a fire, young people. Some of these young people may be ending up, somewhere that I don't know where God's going to take you. But you keep that stirring in your life. Keep that stirring in your life. All right, let me give you these biblical steps to get out your way. First of all, I think, let's go to 2 Timothy, back to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Because pretty much most of the message is coming out. It says, when I call to remember, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that this same faith, church, is in you also. So the first thing you need to do, if you're going to light a flame and stir up the gift of God in your life, you need to put yourself in remembrance of this message and this passage of scripture and be fully persuaded that God put some genuine, sincere, and authentic faith in you, and he has placed the gift of God in your life. You got to be fully persuaded of that. That the faith that I received when I accepted Jesus Christ is in me. And now you just got to put yourself in remembrance of that. Whenever you're feeling a little low, whenever you're getting a little down, whenever you feel like you don't want to go to prayer, whenever you feel like you don't want to go to church, whenever you feel like you don't want to go do the will of God, which is Pastor Rusty started this series 2 weeks ago, and then Pastor Troquill, Paul Troquill, preached on it last Wednesday talking about the will of God. When you don't want to do the will of God, you don't feel yourself want to step out and do the will of God, you got to put yourself in the remembrance of some things, as Paul told Timothy. Remember. He said it twice in verse 5 and 6. He says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. And then verse 6, I put thee in remembrance. I'm calling it to your remembrance, and I'm going to put it in your remembrance because I want you to remember it. Okay? You got the genuine, sincere faith in you. Okay, number 2. Talking about the stirring up, light the flame, the gift of God in your life. And how to stir it up in your life. Number 2, if you never had your pastor lay hands on you, as soon as Pastor Rusty get back, I suggest you come to the altar, ask him to lay hands on you for the gift of God to be stirred up in your life. Okay? Okay? Something happens through the land's hands on ministry. Okay? So if you never had your hands, your head, or your body laid hands on, I strongly suggest you get that done as soon as possible. Amen? As soon as he get back, you get to this altar and you say, Pastor Rusty, I need you to lay hands on me to stir up the gift of God in my life. Okay? And God will stir it up. He'll stir it up. Number 3, get you some power, love, and a sound mind. Verse 6 says, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So get you some power. get you some love operating, get you a sound mind. The word power in the Greek is dunamis. It means having the strength and ability to get saved and stay saved. Having the ability and the strength to become attractive and stay attractive. Having the strength and ability and the power to become revived and stay revived. Having the strength, the power, and ability to become reinvigorated and stay that way. It is the power needed in every scene of life to really grow in sanctification and prepare for heaven's glorification. How many are getting prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus? How many plan on being ready when Jesus comes? So you got to have this stirring going. Remember, the enemy wants to pull us away. He don't want us to be ready. So everything he attacks you with is to get you to give up on God, to get you to quit church, to get you to say, no, I'm not doing that no more. Even offense you got to watch out for. A good stirring will not let you become offended when you probably should have became offended. I'm really. Number four, get you some love. You probably never heard of this artist, but Jonathan Butler wrote a song called Falling in Love with Jesus is the Best Thing I Ever Done. Your love for Christ has to be the number one aim in your life. Can't be your wife, can't be your girlfriend, can't be your boyfriend, can't be your sister, can't be your mama, can't be your brother. It has to be the number one aim in your life. Falling in love with Jesus. Amen. You got to stay in love with him. Number five, get you a sound mind. Get you some self-control or self-discipline. For the NIV, New International Version reads, it says power, love, and not sound mind, but it says self-discipline. Which leads me to the practical steps I give you to help you stay revitalized and revive the gift of God and the calling on your life. So write these down if you have, if the, those of you take notes. Years ago, I read a book by Avery T. Willis. What time? Yes, okay, I got a few minutes. And it's called the Disciples Cross Master Life Series. I don't know if you ever heard of it. But it talks about the cross and we all know what a cross is, right? You got a vertical beam and you have a horizontal beam. Okay. The first four disciplines that Pastor Avery talks about has to do with our relationship with God, the vertical beam. So in order to keep you on fire, to keep the fire burning in your life, here's some practical steps that I'm going to give you. Number one, you got to spend time with the Master. There's no other way. You know, my wife will tell you, my daughter will tell you, when it's time for God, shut the door. You got to learn how to spend some time with God by yourself. And the more you spend time with God by yourself, the more you are stirring up the gift of God. Number two, you got to live in the Word. You just can't read the Word, but you got to live in it. It's got to be what you do to your daily digestion, your daily intake of the Word. It has to be that way. And if you miss a day, don't beat yourself up. Just get back on the track. I think we as a church, we got reading the Bible in the whole year. You can get the plan, follow it, read it every day. Because you need to live in the Word in order to keep the fire of God burning in your life. Number three, you got to pray in faith. Just mentioned the prayer room that we have. Keep praying. Keep praying. This is a Holy Ghost-filled church. Let me say this. I always got to try to stay within here. They always tell me, don't get outside that white pole. I mean, last time I was way down there, I was everywhere. But what was I saying? Pray. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says when we pray in our unknown tongue, we are talking to God. We ain't talking to man. So you got to learn how to get you some tongues going in your prayer life. That'll keep you stirred up. I'll tell you, praying in tongues will keep you stirred up because it keeps all the distractions away. Because sometimes when you go in your prayer closet and you don't have the gift of tongues, all kind of distractions are going to come in. So you got to have a good prayer life and you got to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Number four, which is the last discipline that deals with the vertical beam. You got to fellowship with other believers. You got to go to church. You got to come to prayer meeting. You got to come to Bible study. You want to stay on fire for God? You got to, it's the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself with other believers. Fellowship is koinonia in the Greek. It's a mutual partnership. It's a mutual sharing of our faith together. It's a growing together. And God wants us to always be that way. Continue to stay connected to your local church. That's how you stay on fire. You ever find somebody that don't come to church, miss a week or two? I guarantee you look at their life, they ain't on fire no more. I've been there, done that. Tried to miss church. Prayer life gone. Study life gone. Talking about looking unattractive. You get out of the will of God and see how unattractive you become. You become attractive to the devil, but you won't be attractive to God. And then the last two disciplines, and I'm going to take my seat, has to do with the horizontal beam. And it means our relationship with others. The first four disciplines, we got to stay connected to God. The vertical beam. The last two disciplines, we got to stay connected to other people. And they are, we got to learn how to witness to the world. This is the calling, the Great Commission. See, it's kind of hard to witness to the world and the sixth discipline and minister to other people if you ain't connected vertically. There would be no horizontal ministry without a vertical ministry. Make sense? Without a connection to the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you ain't talking to nobody about God. But I guarantee you stay connected. Oh, you are attractive. People want to hear what you got to say. It's just drawing. One quick story. I went to go hear this minister the other day. He was out of Houston, big time pastor. And he told a story where he had went out of state to go preach somewhere. And he was with, I wanted to say he was with another minister, and they were staying at a hotel. They had put him up in a nice hotel where they had a nice restaurant below. And so he invited him, come on, let's go to lunch. So he go down the elevator, gets ready to go to lunch, sits down at the lunch table. And either the minister or the brother who he was with that invited him, he ordered him a little alcoholic beverage. And so this big time pastor, he was sitting down, and the waitress came out and said, she just noticed, you must be a preacher. You must be a pastor. So you ought to, he hadn't even said anything. She just knew through his attractiveness that he was a pastor. And then she asked him, what you going to have to drink? He was saying, right now I'm going to get iced tea. But, to make a long story short, I don't know if he was saying that he drinks also when he goes, if the lady hadn't noticed him. But I'm saying that to say this here. We got to stay attractive. Yeah. Amen. We got to stay attractive and allow the Lord Jesus to use us at all costs. In my closing, may all of you be blessed, for that is what you are. Amen.
You know, we talked about stirring yourself up, right? And you think of a fire. I mean, God's responsible, right, for starting that fire. Whenever you get those, especially me as a believer, where I came on kind of late, 19 years old, when that got put in me, it was like, I was like, oh my goodness, what is this, right? I was on fire, right? What I realized was that was the initial part of it. That was him putting himself in me, right? Making me his dwelling place, the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where the fire sits, right? But the reality of that is, he's not responsible for keeping that thing going, right? And think about that. To keep a fire going, you got to have more logs. You got to keep it from the rain. If it starts getting windy, you got to cover it up. It takes an effort, right? And so, just like he said, staying stirred up, especially when this whole entire world system is designed to go the opposite way, to put that fire out, it's not, I mean, the further along you get, it doesn't get easier. You just get more effective, right? Does that make sense? So I heard a minister say this, and I liked it. He said, stir yourself up lest you sink to the bottom. But that's the truth, ain't it? I mean, you don't stir yourself up, you sink right to the bottom. Amen. Awesome. What an awesome word. Thank you for that, Brother Dwayne. Well, let me just pray us out, and then we can get on with it, all right? Everybody blessed? Everybody filled? Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you weren't just here, but that you fell. Holy Spirit, that you challenged us with your word, that you met every single one of us where we were at, and you've encouraged us and exhorted us, Lord, to apply and walk out the things that you've imparted. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you bless our going in and coming, or our coming up, excuse me, that you bless our going out and coming in. Thank you. I think I got that right. You bless us all the time. Whether we're going in or coming out, don't matter. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you keep us safe during the week until we meet again on Sunday. Lord, we thank you that no evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh our dwelling, that angels have charge over us. God, we thank you that we are blessed here at Island Church, and that we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.